This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3404 for Thursday, the 19th of August 2021. Today's show is entitled, SUSE 15.3 Leap. It is hosted by JWP and is about 11 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is a short review of SUSE 15.3.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Good day, Hacker Public Radio. Hey, I saw the emails from Ken about needing some shows, and I hadn't really been doing that much hands-on stuff, but this week one of the guys from the server room was retiring, and so we moved some racks around, and some new things got done, and I thought I'd share with you, first, you know, the joy of Jurg. You know, he's worked for the company for almost 50 years now, and he's stepping back out of the server room, and going to be with his woman for a little while. And so, there's that. You know, the passage of time. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Leap 15.3, and all of its XFCE and LQ goodness. So I switched out that little AMD terminal server that I had downstairs. I have a passion for finding on eBay old Fujitsu terminals and turning them into like little appliances or whatever. This one was really interesting because it had an M2 slot and a hard drive slot in it, and it went up to 4 gigabytes of RAM, and so it was a the only thing is it has a very 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 small CPU with 2 logical cores, and even now it's at idle, it's with VNC running, it's about 9.3, so it's just over a gigabyte. So I have an instance downstairs, or a LX, a QT instance running downstairs, and an XFCE instance running in VNC up here in the house. And so it's about one gigabyte out of 4, so 1.05 gigabyte, and it's running at 4% right now. And the Fujitsu, let's see if you want to try to replicate it. It's a Fuji S900N, and so you can find them all over the internet for almost next to nothing. And like I said, they have an M2 slot on them. You got to take out the little M2 slot that it had, the whatever virtualization thin client was in there, and you just put a normal M2 in it, and then I took the grill on the side and put a 500 gigabyte hard drive also, since there was a extra power adapter on the inside, a little PC power adapter. So I was able to get that in, and the most that you can get on the terminal is 4 gigabytes. Like I said, the CPU is relatively off on this, but. And it had been a while since I had got my SUSE on and to see where they were. And so I was like, 15.3. And you know, the beautiful thing about SUSE is that if you're not a very smart person, you can use Yast and get an awful lot done. And so the web browser, you can use the VNC in the web browser. I actually went downstairs because for some unknown reason it dropped, and so I just went downstairs, logged back in, and made sure the Wi-Fi connection was working on the thing, and typed a VNC server, and then it came right up on the instead of the whatever that was the I think 5801, it came up on 5901 on the VNC, so I'm able to play with it up here, and I'll be running an NFS server on that 500 gigabytes, and it was pretty interesting getting that extra server to the touch and everything. So if I go to it and use it's because there's so many desktops installed, there's so many tools, but let's see, accessories, and what do we got? Leaf pad, mouse pad, RLQE, ArcGraver, file catcher, application finder. Let's use the application finder and let's find a file. File associations, file manager, Pac-Man. Let's launch that bad boy. Okay, so if I go to So it shows my home directory when I bring up Pacman home slash JWP1, and it came up pretty quick. And of course, the it has the share on it. And if I go extra data, it actually. So I made a symbolic link in the home directory, and let's see if it still lets me write it. So let's go. Open. One thing I really wish it would do is not open with LibreOffice for a text file. So now we'll be waiting for just a second while that LibreOffice does its thing. I don't need the next tip, so let's type in hi there and file. Save. And I don't want an ODT document. Does it even offer a text document? Does it even offer a text document? I don't think it does. HTML. Oh yeah, text. So it does offer a text file. So let's save. Use text format. Okay. And so it yeah, so the permissions that I put in there, so you have to do that chmod and then make the drive available to all users, and there's a million odd ways to go about it, but I always find that you find that chmod on that 777 is the way to go for that extra disk. So of course the next step is for me to share that over the NFS, NFS. So it's VNC all the time. It's NFS, and I'm probably gonna move my sinful Dropbox sync from the work server room to that little Fujitsu downstairs, because number one, it's always on, and number two, the Nook upstairs has the Dropbox on it, and if I put it downstairs, then there's two copies of it, both on pretty small transportable things. And so with Dropbox, you can only have two clients. It's almost as bad as Evernote these days. Evernote these days. And interestingly enough, on that topic, my workplace is really big on the Microsoft products, but if you just use the Microsoft products with your phone, it's not that bad, and particularly on the Android side of things. So if you just thought about using OneNote and then Microsoft Lens on your Android phone, it's not really that bad of a thing from a practicality thing. Of course, if you want to have a Linux phone and you want to do it with Linux, that's great. But the problem that I have is that so many people want $5 or $10 or $15, and it appears that if you just use the the OneNote Android client and the Microsoft Office Lens client, and you have a Microsoft Live account, they won't charge you the 365 every year for your note taking. And so I found that to be a little bit easier than what I was trying to get with Evernote, or the free. And if any of y'all want to do an exercise and what might be good or have similar functionality to OneNote and Microsoft Lens, that would be fantastic. In the HPR land and the HPR landscape. Well, guys, it's almost 10 minutes, and I've talked a little bit about the SUSE 15.3. It seems pretty solid. It's a little different than my Debian or Ubuntu stuff that I normally do. And like I said, you do it all from the YAST. So if you're not really familiar with RPM or the different technology or Zyper, everything had happened from ZAST and ZAST and the command line. And what I really liked about it is that all of the hard things that you have to look up on the line and go through, like the DigitalOcean or tutorial or whatever to get to work, you can do all of that with YAST, and it pretty much works every time. All right, hey, I hope y'all are all being safe in the COVID and staying away from the Delta and all of that neat stuff. I'm getting ready to fly to the States end of September, and I wish y'all all well and hope y'all are good. If anyone wants to reach me, I'm at jwp5@hotmail.com. That's JWP, the number 5, at hotmail.com. And y'all have a great day. And let's stop.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.